Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus prayed these words three times in the Garden of Gethsemane, outside the city gates, below the Mount of Olives, crying out to his Father to remove the coming pain and burden from him. Christ had extreme anxiety as he prayed these words, even to the point of blood being mingled with his sweat in great drops. Christ knew fully what lay ahead of him. He knew the details of his death, the painful beating, the scourging, the mockery, the betrayal, the public ridicule from many who he knew, and ultimately the crucifixion. Christ knew the plan of God, which was prophesied in Isaiah, describing how Christ was disfigured, beaten, swollen, and scourged to the point of not even seeming human. And I hate to be too graphic, but this was a bloody, horrible event. And he knew this, his purpose on earth, to come and live a sinless life and die an incredibly painful and awful death as a sacrifice for our sins. And if he wanted, really, he had the power to stop all of it, but he didn't. He chose to move forward. He asked God if there's any other way, but he accepted the Father's will and he moved forward willingly. So how many times do you and I pray to God to take this cup from me? As Christ's disciples, we sometimes have been given cups to drink that we desperately want God to take from us. Various burdens, trials, pain, health issues like cancer, challenges in our relationships, diseases, the loss of a loved one, could be a father, a mother, a child, or even a baby. Today I'd like to talk about how we bear these hard things, these cups in our life, and the example that Christ left us, submitting to God in all things. First, God offered you and I this amazing opportunity to be part of his family and receive the Holy Spirit. But he never promised that it would be easy. You can look at the examples of God's people and the disciples throughout history. How many of them asked and probably begged God to take away the cup given to them? I can mention a few, like Moses. Moses begged God not to make him go before the Pharaoh. He was reluctant. He even had Aaron to speak for him anyway. God still provided a way. Noah built a massive boat on dry land with no way to move it to a harbor. People had to think he was absolutely insane. He had to endure scoffing and public ridicule for many, many years, dozens of years. And many times he might have wondered, what am I doing? It took faith. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, and lived in prison. Abraham was asked to slay his own son to show his commitment to God. I simply can't imagine this. I have my firstborn, Josiah's back there. I couldn't imagine the concept. He's so precious to me. Hosea had to marry an unfaithful woman. Basically, a prostitute. Can you imagine that? Every man wants his own woman to have and hold and call his own. Hannah was barren. And when finally blessed with a son, she had to give him up. How about all the prophets? How much fear would you have? How reluctant would you be if you were asked to do some of the tasks they were? Look at Jonah, Daniel, Samuel. Imagine being Jonah walking to Nineveh. Outside the city gates, Assyria was the most powerful empire of the day, and the bodies and the skin of their captives were all displayed upon the gates, and he's walking through to give them a message that they don't want to hear, but God's asked him to do it. That's a daunting task, a difficult cup to drink. John the Baptist, working and living in the wilderness, eating insects, only to have his head removed in the end and put on a platter. It's not exactly a life of luxury. Not to mention Christ's disciples, who endured many hardships, crucifixion, being stoned to death, tortured with great cruelty, and they knew very likely what happened to them. You can read in Hebrews, many of God's servants were stoned, they were sawn in two, a practice that continued on through the Middle Ages. They were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And I know we like to think of Israel as the land flowing with milk and honey, and it was thousands of years ago. But by the time the Romans came through and all the wars ravaged it, there's a lot of areas that aren't very fertile. I biked from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea, and I literally only saw one significant tree the whole way. I mean, it's a barren land now in all the areas that aren't irrigated or treated for agriculture. These stories of God's people, many of them are heartbreaking, and they're real. We need to remember that. They're real people who are given incredibly difficult paths, sometimes very bitter cups to drink, but they did. And these people were every bit as real as you and I today. What if God came to you and said, "I have a job for you, a cup you must drink"? What would you say? Would you run? Would you hide? Would you refuse? Or would you accept but with reluctance? God's servants had all these reactions down through the biblical history. It's something to think about, especially if you believe that we may be living towards the end of an era. Some of us at some point in the future may have to endure some tremendous hardships to drink a cup as an example for Christ. You know, God spares us from many things, and He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But He can't spare us from all trials, because hardship and suffering is how we learn compassion for others. It's how we grow in character and grow in the grace and the knowledge. I've mentioned this before, but my dad told me when I was younger that as a teenager, I had to learn more compassion for people. And if I didn't, he would give me some opportunities, some hardships, some suffering, some pain. And it's true. Secondly, at baptism, you chose and accepted the cup that God so graciously offered to you. You signed up to the terms of agreement, the laws, and a way of life that is unconditional, no matter the trials you face. And we can't go back on the agreement and still attain eternal life. This is our day of salvation. This is our chance and our opportunity, the here and now. But it won't always be easy to follow Christ. John 15:18 through 20 reads, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." But the good news is, we're not asked to suffer these trials alone. We've been given the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to strengthen and guide us at baptism, which we learn in John 14, is made possible by the sacrifice of Christ. Before Christ was betrayed, remember, God also sent an angel to Christ, strengthening him in his suffering. The different Gospels share different accounts. But in Luke 22:42, we read, when Christ kneeled down to pray his second time, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. We do have angels. We may not see them, but they're here. Thirdly, with baptism and the receiving of the Holy Spirit, we surrender ourselves to God's will. In other words, we accept the cup God offers us, knowing it requires us to accept His will. Again, Christ fully knew His future. He knew the pain He would go through, and He desperately wanted God to remove this pain and burden from Him, but also prayed that not His will be done, but the Father's. So I ask, how often do we ask God to remove our burdens and trials as Christ did, but neglect to recognize and ask for God's will in it? Sometimes God's will is very different than ours, and it's difficult to accept. We don't always get the answers or the outcome that we want. I know my mother is suffering a great deal right now. She would have chose a different path, a different cup. Everyone in this room has something they're dealing with, or has dealt with, or will deal with. And a lot of the young people haven't had much suffering or trials. Maybe if you're a teenager, but you can't get out of this life without it. By the time you're 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, you'll either experience something, or you'll lose a loved one, or you will experience the pain and the suffering of this life. There's no avoiding it. We know our Father wants to give us good things, but He also doesn't want to remove the trials. And we are called to be sharpened and pruned, and it's not an easy process. Despite hard times, we must want and desire God's will, knowing He ultimately has a plan for us and wants good things for those who love Him and do according to His will. Just not always on our timing and the answer we're looking for. We must trust in God's will and His purpose for us, just as Christ trusted the Father, laying down His life for you and I. So in conclusion, why did Christ endure such pain? Why did He accept such a difficult cup? He did it for a higher purpose, to atone for our sins and offer us to be part of the family of God and heirs with Christ. We too have cups that seem sometimes impossible to bear. As we have trials and burdens placed upon us, we should keep our eyes and hearts steady on God's greater purpose for us to be sons and daughters in His kingdom, to be one big family, all of us in this room, hopefully to be one big family, and recognize that ultimately God's will for those who faithfully follow Him is greater than we can ever imagine. So let's conclude with John 6, verse 40. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.